Hey, Jamie, I've got a question for you.
What do you want, Tom?
Who's on the podcast this coming Friday? Is it someone big?
Boy.
Is it a big one? Shall I bother listening this week?
Yeah. If I was going to say take.
And I would say off.
No.
Your trousers.
No, no. Take.
Me out.
No. Take.
Paddy McGuinness.
No. Take.
Take on me.
Take that.
Wow.
Have a little patience.
But hang on, presumably you haven't got all three of them, have you? Presumably you've just got one of them.
Buddy, we have all three of them on the podcast. They've released a new album. It's coming out. They're going on tour. They talk about the ups, the downs, the lefts, the rights, on everything that happened in Take That.
The ins, the outs.
And they reveal it all this Friday.
Exclusively.
On Private Parts.
That's a big one. I'm going to listen to that.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Disclaimer before this episode is I've recently adopted a stray dog from Macedonia called Spike. I've had him for a week and he's actually super chill. But if you hear any rumbling, or he's actually got a really long tongue, so you can hear him drinking water from like a next room. So yeah, I hope you enjoy. Okay, welcome to the Whole Truth Podcast with me, Jordan Stevens, a.k.a.
Albinator.
Oh, yeah, you have to go for a legit a.k.a. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Although I'm not sure I'm a stick with that.
I don't know.
I put it on you, innit?
You really, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. a.k.a. Gnarly Ventura. I call myself that once. A.k.a. Ultra J.
You call me Sideshow Bob?
You're
cute.
You know,
if Sideshow you know, Bob was cute,
I have like a you know, I have like an acute trauma response to that. I'd say I've been. It's like the most identifiable.
Did they just trigger you
a little bit? Is Sideshow Bob ethnic?
I don't know.
I'm getting a head shake.
I kind of feel like he's if he Bob. Wasn't, that's kind of problematic.
Is it? What, his hair?
Well, he was a psychopath.
True. I mean, I'm going to own it. I think he, his voice did haunt me from most of my childhood.
I legitimately thought that he was a badass.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
You just caught that. When
he was always trying to kill Bart. And
yeah, I liked Bart. You didn't like Bart?
I kind of feel like sometimes Bart was asking for it.
I kind of
feel like Bart was continuously traumatizing Sideshow Bob.
Yeah,
and
true.
You know, a brother just got pushed. Still getting that buzz when we hit them clubs.
Life cinnamon sweet. Tell that girl put us in on me. So I am joined on the Whole Truth Podcast by Monroe Bergdorf, a friend. I get to call you a friend, don't I?
Of course.
Oh,
of course. We probably don't hang out as much as we should.
I've actually tried to hang out with you and you've ignored me.
I was having a hard time when you... Jordan texts me in the midst of a press scandal. Oh. And I was kind of... And he was like...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
I didn't know.
Oh, yeah, no, I was having a hard time.
See, this is what I... That's the price I pay for being so out the loop. Seriously,
Daily Mail weren't letting me live that week.
Oh, for real, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Water under the bridge.
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, I didn't. It was bad timing.
They're nice about me. They call me leggy now. So
really?
They've gone from, like, you know, trying to ruin my life to just, like, sexism.
So yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, back to their old
I'll
tricks.
Take sexism if I need to pick a choice.
The Mail Online, yeah. The headlines still never cease to amaze me.
It's like leggy, curvy, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and you're supposed to say thank you.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's better than them trying to destroy you, so...
It is, I'd say. So, I'm obviously a huge fan of yours. I think you're wicked. Met you at a night put on by Scarlett Curtis.
Yes.
And I had the pleasure of sitting next to you. And
yes.
We both spoke and we had a good evening. And from that point, we maintained contact. And I think that's actually a lovely side of social media, because when you are connecting with someone who is ultimately busy or lives far away from you, or you're establishing a friendship, I do like the mutual appreciation.
Of course.
Sometimes when you like a picture of mine, I feel like it's a virtual hug.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice.
No, genuinely. I mean, I have a love-hate relationship with social media, especially at the moment. I'm having a little bit of a blackout on social media, I've decided.
Okay, good.
Next 2 weeks, I'm not going to post at all, because
seriously,
yeah, no, I've just kind of, I don't know, I'm a little bit run down, I'm a little bit ill today, guys.
Okay,
so I'm like ill of the soul, I feel. I've just been non-stop through fashion week.
Oh, of course. Yeah, but I saw some of the pictures, look amazing.
Yeah, it was really great.
Because that was busy for you last
non-stop
year.
I was like, Lady Gaga meme, another club, flight, interview, photo shoot, like that kind of thing. It was just really, really difficult. And I kind of felt like I'd lost myself a little bit. And I haven't really taken stock of where I'm at. Mm. And like, I don't know, I kind of feel like it's taking a long time for me to really get rid of the shits. Really? I just don't feel like I've got any energy mentally to apply myself to like doing a campaign or looking at myself in a photo. Like, my gender dysphoria kind of comes out when I'm run down. Really? And my body's dysmorphia as well, because I'm recovering anorexic. And so a lot of, and depression as well. So there's a lot that kind of comes out when I'm run down. So I'm just wanting to take stock of the world and still work, still, but exist in reality rather than posting a picture of what I'm doing and then also looking at the likes and then and equating my self-worth to the likes.
Yo, that's a real
because
thing.
Because even if we don't mean to do it, and I don't care what anyone says, if you post a picture and you expect other people to like it, and you're like really, you know, into the moment and you post it and then no one likes it. And then you're kind of like, I don't care what anyone says. Pain, you do feel a little bit like, oh.
100%. You feel deflated.
And then you're like, I can't let anyone see this.
And you have like, you start to compare a previous post and all this stuff. What have I done wrong?
Yeah, I just don't want to do that.
Before we get into it, I want to pull things back a bit, because you mentioned, just from memory, three quite massive and important and common, I'd say more common than we'd like to believe, mental struggles.
I've got a list.
Yeah, sure. No. But all right. So I wanted to actually begin this properly by just asking you how you are now. You say you feel ill because you feel run down post being overworked.
I mean, I've been better. I'm not like, you know, about to, you're not going to see me in the news tomorrow and it's like kind of checked into the Priory or anything like that. Like I could do with some time away, so I'm going to do that. And that's what I'm doing. You know, I think it's all about being active, about recovery and admitting when you're not okay. I mean, there's a little dog. There's a rather big dog in the studio.
My dog Spike, just want everyone to know Spike.
So cute. If you hear any rustling, it's the dog.
It's like a black wolf,
But like, I think especially when you speak about mental health in the capacity that we do, I think there's a pressure to always be like, oh, and be now great. I'm fine. Do you know what I mean? And let everyone else know that, you know, you've not been okay in the past, but this is how you got it together.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, sometimes you just don't have it together. Mm. And I honestly don't at the moment. But it's a work in progress of getting to that point where I will have it together. And speaking about that process.
Yeah, that's good. Do you have an idea based on... Okay, so do you... When you say once you have it together, do you say that because you are beginning to build up mechanisms to manage the things you struggle with? Are you distracted by the dog?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, firstly, that's a really great outlook to have.
Yeah.
Because I know that when I've struggled with stuff in the past, one of the hardest things is actually knowing that there's a place where it won't feel like that anymore.
Oh my God, for sure. I mean, like, I completely know that I'm going to be fine. But it's just, I don't know, I feel like society, like in a societal sense, when we say, like, how are you? We don't expect someone to say, I'm not that great, actually.
No.
But, and I understand that there's a time and a place for everything. You know, not everybody is not everybody has like an interest or capacity, or, you know, if it's a professional environment, then, you know, you just probably not going to speak about your feelings straight like there and then. Yeah. But in this capacity where we're talking about mental health, I think it's really important to pay it forward and be like, you know, I am exhausted and that's kind of filtered down into my psyche. And I'm doing this, this and this to try and fix it. Because I don't want to sit here and just be like, you know, I've been through really hard times and I'm fine now. But yeah, it's all in the past, because it's not in the past. And mental health issues are something that I continuously need to monitor.
Yes.
And so I'm just going to be like out and honest about it. I've struggled, well, I still struggle sometimes with eating disorders, whether or not that's like binging or anorexia.
Shit, extremes, isn't it?
Yeah, just like world's loudest drinker.
He's got such a long tongue. Spike, seriously, can you just quiet down, please? We're trying to do a podcast, mate.
I struggle with anorexia, and then also there's gender dysphoria and body dysmorphia.
So can we go through this? Can we go through this kind of one by one and just no, because it's important. Because to, you know, I think being able to consciously understand and manage difficulties of any kind is really admirable, and mm-hmm. and it's a really great place for, you know, listeners, people around you to feel encouraged and you know. So in terms of the eating disorders,
yes,
are there any particular triggers for binging? Are there any particular triggers for Is the anorexia as a result of the binging, and does the body dysmorphia come?
When I feel like my life is out of control and I don't feel like I can't get a grasp on things, and when I feel like, you know, if I'm being dragged through the press, or if I see a bad picture of myself and I'm working or something like that, or if you, like, in the papers use like a really horrible picture, or in a breakup situation, let's say it's stress related, but stress in a way that I can't control things.
Yeah.
So right, it's never it's about like, and I think as a society, we only really look at eating disorders from a visual sense of like kind of girls that want to be skinny because they're triggered by models and triggered by the fashion industry and that aesthetic. But for me, it was never about the way that I look. It was what it was, but it was about controlling the way that I looked because I didn't have a control about anything else.
In your life. Yeah, I've heard that before.
So it was really, mostly non-eating. But earlier this year, it was about just kind of eating as much as possible.
Whoa.
And just watching my body get bigger, because it's wild. But I mean,
did that lead to the body dysmorphia?
No, it didn't, oddly. I kind of...
Did that come? That comes in more with anorexia?
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm not. I don't really mind if I'm bigger, but it's, you know, smaller. I just look a little bit dead, so that gets me down. And it's not conscious. I don't do it consciously. I just kind of find myself.
Yeah, of course. It's like it's a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
No, I hear that. I've actually had body dysmorphia before, and it was one of the most difficult things to deal with.
It's crazy. I mean, body dysmorphia and gender dysphoria kind of come hand in hand with me. But like, it'll be really weird. Like, I'll look at a picture of myself and I won't be able to see how I look. I can just see a face and I can't see. Like, on the head, it's like the head hasn't got a face on it. And then the face is detached from the head.
Really?
And so all I'll see is like facial features. And I was like, I don't even know what I look like.
Really?
Yeah, it's bizarre.
And that's to do... So explain the gender
Well, I mean, I'm like... I don't really have gender dysphoria as much now. Now that I had that my facial feminization surgery, I kind of feel like that's alleviated that a lot.
Right.
But it's kind of like just looking at myself. I was like, I don't even know what I look like as a person. I can't see myself impartially. I know that lots of people can't anyway, because we kind of focus on features. So we'll look at eyes or we'll look at nose. And it depends on what you gravitate towards as your favourite and least favourite feature. But for me, sometimes it's difficult to actually gauge what I look like.
Right. Wow.
But I mean, that really does come with stress as well.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I'm speaking about all of these things and the last thing that I want is for anyone to feel sorry for me, because if anything, we all deal with mental issues in one way or another, and we all respond in one way or another. But I at least am thankful that I know why I feel certain things, and I can then put in the necessary components to
the
get
measures.
Better.
That's, I'd say, the most important and most inspiring part of how you talk about it, because, yeah, I think it's being able for you to be able to identify or even to correlate you've been run down with.
Yeah.
With particular kind of, like, you punish yourself, don't you, with your mind.
That's, oh my God, 100%. And yeah. That's what it is. Like,
but to identify that is really important, because I think that if you're not aware of that stuff, you find yourself in a situation, or I know that I have, or people around me, where you're even so tired that you're not aware of why you're feeling extra things. You spiral.
For sure. And like, I've gone for sure, and you're for real.
Yeah.
I definitely think it's all about identifying why you're feeling, how you're feeling, and then deconstruct. And I'm literally exhausted. That's it. There's not really anything wrong in terms of my situation, like where I'm at. I feel like I'm in a good place, but you can't be in a good place and continuously just giving away parts of yourself. And that's where I was. And I also haven't stopped working for like a year. Like, I had a week break, but really a week in a year of a highly stressful year, probably like one of the most formative years of my life.
Last year?
Yeah. Like, since the whole L'Oreal thing.
Was that last year? I thought it was the year before.
It was last year, like a year exactly.
Really?
Yeah. It feels like a lifetime.
Yeah, I thought it was 2016.
In all of that time, I literally haven't stopped working.
Yeah, sure.
Which is great.
For good reason.
I'm thankful for the opportunities.
Yeah, you're fighting the good fight.
But like, at the same time, it's like giving away a lot.
Yeah, sure. It's really important to conserve energy.
Definitely. I always say that you're no use to anybody else if you're not being good to yourself.
Yeah.
It's the same as like RuPaul. How are you going to love someone else? Now, how in the hell are you going to love someone else if you can't love yourself?
Yeah, for real. You know, the other one, I don't know if this is a little bit unconnected, but my other mantra most of my life has been Dr. Seuss.
I love Dr. Seuss.
I might mention this already on this podcast, but yeah, he has a thing which is be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter. And those who matter don't mind. I love that. I honestly think it keeps me safe sometimes.
I think that Madeleine Albright said something very similar too.
In regards to how mad life has been for you, because I think it seems wild to me that it's been a year since that whole L'Oreal thing went down. But what is it about that situation, or being outspoken, or things you particularly said that you want to say about that? What are the little moments that, you know, aside of the kind of big questions of why or what, or you could respond with that, but I want to know about like that moment, the moments around particular responses or reactions, or how you felt with L'Oreal, or how you felt with, you know?
I mean, I think it's all about going past the fact that it was L'Oreal. Yeah, that situation sucked. But I think it's more about now looking at how brands work with real people, or people with actual opinions and life experience, especially when you're employing marginalized people. I feel like it's all about looking at brand responsibility. And if we're doing these campaigns around empowerment, and about representation and visibility, then it needs to be real. And it can't just be about, you know, employing somebody because they're someone or because they look a certain way. It has to really be about standing behind that person and what they think and what they've experienced. So really, I just want brands to actually invest in voices and really be about it, you know. Don't just talk about being for dark-skinned women, but then not actually stocking that makeup, you know? It's like following through.
Yeah, for real.
And don't say that you're, you know, there for trans lives and black lives and then putting them in the campaigns, but then only having that for, like, visibility's sake.
Or, like, kind of...
Yeah, commodifying it, tokenism. So I think it's all about deconstructing tokenism and heading towards actual real inclusivity.
And do you think we're heading towards that?
I think that we are, because the more things that happen, like what happened to me, what's happened with other people that have worked for L'Oreal, I won't bring their names into it because it's not fair, and what's happened with, you know, all of this, like, cancel culture with, like, old tweets being brought up and, like, stuff like that. And allowing people to actually grow as human beings.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Do you feel as though you've had a space to be able to speak honestly about how these situations in your life has affected your mental health?
I've been as honest as I can. Obviously, there's, like, you know, everybody's got bits that they want to keep to themselves, and I don't really want to talk about it all the time. But in moments like these, speaking about mental health in podcasts, I think, is really helpful.
Yeah.
And I want people... I don't want to have gone through all of that for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to really just, as I said, pay it forward and be a reference point for other people that are feeling the same thing, that maybe don't have the same opportunities that I've had.
Yeah.
I've been very lucky. I've got an amazing management company, amazing publicist. I've got great friends around me, got understanding family. I've got a great girlfriend. I've, like, got all of these things in place that are supportive for me. And not everybody has that.
Yeah. Well, like, what advice would you give to, that's pretty vague, but in regards to, like, self-care and mental health, are there anything you'd like to say to fans of yours?
Just be honest with yourself and others, I think.
Yeah, I'd say that's...
Because, I mean, I could come in here and just be like, you know what, things are great. Going to LA in 3 weeks, looking forward to it, blah, 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 but, like... If I'm going to be speaking about mental health, I'm going to talk about how my mental health actually is.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
And I'm just not feeling that great today.
Yeah.
And it really just, that is it. It's not, you know, I'm not looking for people to feel sorry for me. I'm not, you know, things aren't in the dire straits. It's just my mental health.
But as you know, that's also an admirable part of you, because when I'm feeling rubbish, I really want people to feel sorry for me.
Do you? That's okay too.
No, sometimes I'm just a little bit like, I just go easy on me.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Do you know what I mean?
You don't want people hammering you when you're like,
but
you
they
know.
Do. Nah, but
that's 2018, babe.
Yeah.
No empathy.
I had a situation the other day where I went to sleep in the afternoon. I didn't take my medication. I've kind of been on and off ADHD medication.
Okay.
Which just balances me out, really.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I have, like, ups and downs. So
yeah.
I took a day off and I literally had, like, a real up. And then by about 3:30,
oh,
I was just out cold. Me and my girlfriend were asleep on the sofa. And I woke up 45 minutes later and I was so depressed. And I think it was like, it was one of these moments where you really build up this, it's like I'm sat there going like, this is genuinely, there is actually a logic to this in a way. Yeah. Whereas like I was then able to try and disassociate myself from the spiraling, but it really happens.
Oh, I had a spiral last night.
I had a real like, it was initially like, I feel disorientated and weird because I slept in the afternoon. And then it was like, and also I feel as though my career is on its way down and also I shouldn't watch this.
I love
this
that
and,
one.
Do you know what I mean? You just jump straight to it and it's like, and really it's
I deconstruct everything.
What
and
happened?
Like,
do you mind talking about what the
spiral
was?
My spiral last night. Yeah, I mean, I had a podcast yesterday about mental health and
with who? who do we have to go and hug?
Dame Kelly Holmes.
Oh wow, amazing! And how was that?
Amazing. She's an incredible woman.
She really is.
Double Olympian.
Yeah, and I'm not sure you can get better.
I am pretty sure that you would be hard pushed.
Like. Athletics, as when I was younger, it used to scare the shit out of me because that's really on you.
She's been in the army for 10 years.
Yeah, but do you know, like, it's on you, though. That's one of the wildest things about athletics that people forget. Like, if you fuck up, it's literally just your, like, there's no other,
yeah.
I wouldn't say fault. I want to be hasty on saying fault, but it's a lot. When I was a kid, I remember that was, in comparison to football, like, give me football any day. So you did a podcast with Kelly.
Yeah, and it just deflated me a little bit. And then I just got home and just, I don't know, kind of started spiraling.
Yeah.
And talked to my mum, and I always know whenever I talk to
my
mum.
Is she like your constant?
She's great, but I just kind of feel like she makes me worse because she's always like, kind of like, she's like a, she just digs and digs and digs.
Oh my God, yeah, she doesn't let up.
I'm just like, just I don't feel that great today. Yeah, just and it's like, I just need you to tell me that you love me. That's all that I
just
need.
Just give me the soup.
And she's like, well, why don't you feel good? Why not?
Oh, she's a fixer.
Why? Why? Why?
That's what my mum's
like. And then I was just like, oh, I just don't want to talk about this. And then it's just,
why'd you ring her then?
Off. Just because, you know, sometimes you want to talk to your mum. But she's actually all right. She's actually all right.
Yeah. And it set you off?
It set me off a little bit. And then I just kind of like couldn't sleep. So I popped a sleeping pill.
Did you?
And then I woke up and I was like, oh my
God. Oh, you're one of those who can't, like, your mind stays awake.
I needed to just, you know, just switch off.
You know, I have this, and I will actually stand up and say this is almost a heroic aspect of mine. I've only not been able to sleep twice in my life. What? Right? Because I get to a state often where if my thoughts are fast, they tire me out and I fall asleep. And I'm really sorry because I've seen it happen to her. Like, my girlfriend has the same thing. She literally has a peak at like half an hour before, like about 12:30 every night.
Yeah.
She's like, yo, it's like, this is wild. But I'm a morning person. She sleeps till like 12.
You're a morning person. Yeah. I've never understood that.
Why not? Seize the day. Carpe diem, my man.
It's beautiful. It's the most beautiful part of the day.
Yeah, it is.
But I just don't, I don't wake up. I just don't wake up.
It's the most beautiful part of the day. I just don't care. I love that. Yeah, no. How was morning? How was morning, Twitter?
I don't know what's morning.
I don't know what it is. That's amazing. I remember, you know, once I saw this tweet, right? And I thought, like, this is such a beautiful state of affairs. I saw what a sick producer tweeted going, yo, what's the weather like today? And I just thought, that is amazing. Like, this guy is clearly, like, he must be near a window. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not in prison. Like, even then, you'd know. Like, he's at a point where he's so chilled out. He's gone, I'm actually just going to get a download.
I love it.
Also, didn't even got a weather app. You know what I mean? Like,
Google.
Yeah. But one thing I do want to talk about is friendship, because I think I find that interesting. Personally, I didn't really understand the concept of friendship until I was literally about 18.
Okay.
Only child. A very, very, very heady a lot of my life, very up in my head, which is great and wonderful and creative, but similarly, like, very logical sometimes, to the point where I didn't understand that just spending time with people was like building a friendship.
It can be really self-destructive as well.
Yeah. but now I've got loads of friends. Anyway, that's one thing that is to be We've, again, one of the I am whole incentives has been speaking to friends. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that your mum is someone who you speak to in those. Is there anyone else around you, or is there anyone you would like to speak about who's been particularly supportive? Or
yeah, I mean, I've got a really close-knit group of friends. I actually was in a collective with them called Pussy Palace.
Oh, yeah. With the X.
Oh,
I've been meaning to go to one of those nights.
So, yeah, Pussy Palace with an X instead of the U. And, yeah, we've just always stayed in touch. And I was actually meant to go to Ibiza. That's another reason why I'm so devoted, because I was meant to go to Ibiza, but then I ended up booking a job, which I'm not going to complain about. But still, I could have done with an Ibiza vibe.
You do it after.
But it was 10 of us, and we had a big villa. But it's okay. I'm not bitter. I'm going
next
to
year.
Next year,
going to La La Land.
I'm going to La La
Land. That's fine.
Yeah, in about a month or so. But anyway, so we are all very much kind of like a very compact group.
Yeah.
Everyone has their role. We all pull each other up. And,
really?
You know, Sky's like the mum. Nadine's like, I don't know, she's like your auntie, I feel. Like, she's an auntie. She's like the auntie who cooks things well. You know, like when I used to have an auntie Pat.
Yeah.
Sorry, mum, if you're listening to this, but like Auntie Pat's cooking was so much better than my mum's.
That's you just sent for your mum, right?
Oh no, she made rice and peas like so well, and like chicken was just so good.
Marinate, that's the way it was.
It was just, I don't know what she did to it still this day, but it was just so good.
You can
good.
Put some real tricks in there.
Yeah,
I've seen someone stick Coca-Cola in a jerk sauce before.
Okay, yeah, I mean it was really good chicken and
jack rice.
But I give it to my mum. My mum made. Jack Rice. No, stop.
Sorry.
Oh my god, stop.
Sorry.
That's another podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, my mum made good gullet bread. But anyway, yeah, so Nadine is the auntie. Kay sounds like the naughty big sister who you can steal clothes from, is always steals your clothes. And I guess I'm like the gel. I guess.
Do you like being the gel?
I think I'm like the unknowing gel.
Right.
And I'm the gel that doesn't know it's the gel, but secretly.
Guys, I so don't know I'm the gel that holds all of us together.
I don't know. I just kind of feel like...
You're like
the
humble gel.
I'm like the jazzy gel. I'm like the
jazzy gel.
I'm the cool gel.
Jazzy gel.
No, yo, I don't know.
You ever thought of doing a rap career? Because I got your name right there, son. Jazzy gel.
No one wants to hear me rap.
I do.
I got asked if I wanted to record a song the other day.
By who? Tell the
same. I'm not
going to
say. No, because people are going to start saying that I should do it.
I definitely think you should do it. If you guys think that Monroe should start a rap career, then please hashtag I'm hot,
you know,
hashtag monroebars.com/ jazzy gel.
I think I could like kind of do like a speak. I mean, what is
spoken
rapping
words.
These days anyway? What is rapping these
that's,
days?
That's the most. That's the most kind of senile thing I've heard you say.
Spoken word?
No, you
put
went,
that
you,
in my mouth.
I no, you said, what even is rap these days?
And it, but what is
actually,
it?
Actually, you know what? I'm going to retract that statement because one, senile is a bit of a wild word to use. And secondly, because I actually probably have said the same thing recently. I want my dreams of cream on top. Yeah. But it seems that cream goes off. Cash rules everything around me. But everyone around me speaking for. You got your clique right. That's amazing. And would you say that they've been instrumental in...
Oh my God, for sure. For sure. Absolutely. Like, they're not my only friends, but they're some of the most important girls in my life.
What about male friends?
I mean, my best friend is my friend Tommy, who I went to university at the same time as. And we kind of had that whole, you know, off the rails period in university, and we're still best friends now.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's cis gay male.
Right. Okay.
Really nice guy.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say nice, but he's.
Does he have like a clique as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not in it.
Yeah. There's no cross clique activity.
There's no cross clique activity.
Seriously, he wouldn't bring his boys out to Beefa.
I'm not really. I don't know. I kind of feel like they're not really my kind of people.
Is it?
And I'm not their kind of person either, which is fine. And it doesn't mean that they're not, you know, good people. They're just not really people that I would want to hang out with.
I seriously isolate myself sometimes, you know.
You what?
I isolate myself sometimes.
Slate yourself.
Isolate.
Oh my God, I'm queen of isolation.
Do you do that too?
Yes. That's what I'm doing right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm great at it.
Hiding. Hide and seek.
I sometimes
I just worry that when
right.
I come out though, that my friends are just going to be like, they're just not nonplussed.
No. You need to just be honest about it and be like, look, I don't want to be around people right now. And that's okay. Because I feel like, you know, there's introverts and extroverts, and extroverts feed off people's energies, and introverts kind of take that on and kind of, I'm not explaining it very well.
Did you say extroverts feed off people's energy?
Extroverts.
Oh, they have to
vibes.
Buzz off other.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And introverts create their own.
I hear you.
And I can't be around people if I don't want to be around people. It just makes me even more insular.
I want to ask about music.
Okay.
I actually don't know really anything about like what music you love or listen to, but we're doing a gig called Music for Mental Health, which is great. Didn't think that was going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to raise money for the charities that we're working with, which is good to actually put action behind the words, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people are like out here commodifying shit and saying stuff, but we actually want to raise some cash for it.
Great.
I just find it's like this language, music is this language that like is remarkable.
It's amazing.
Yeah. So like, are there any songs or artists or... That would have got you through a bad time.
Okay, you celebrate I thought you with. Meant in general.
Or you think generally speaking.
Why don't I talk about what I'm listening to right now?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I love this band called Boniface.
Right.
It's a band, but there's like one lead singer and it's like really getting back to that emo kind of
grunge.
Like, yeah, kind of. It's like, it's very kind of like.
Oh no, so.
No, well, not really. No, his voice is very. I don't know how to explain it. Oh my God.
Huh?
No. He's kind of. It's very atmospheric and very visual. Like listening to him, the way that he describes. Mood and describes situations. It just makes me, you know, when you're looking out of the window
Boniface.
In a car, Boniface.
I want to check that out.
You know, when you're looking out of the car window and a song comes on and it just gets you, it just hooks you in and you're like, I'm in the music video right now.
I think that all the time.
Yeah, it's that kind of vibe. And he's really like getting me through that. And I also like Brockhampton.
Yo.
Brockhampton are fucking lit.
And there's a lilac fish.
What's that song called? Juva? Is it Juva?
No, that's sweet.
Juva is nuts. I was listening to it the other day and it took me a few listens and I was like, I turned it off the first time because I was like, why is this guy yelling? And there's, I think I was.
Damn it! Yeah. How many of them are there? Like 15
it's like
or something?
10.
I want to be in it so badly.
You should.
And they just got openly like gay, openly. Like fluid all over the spectrum, and I'm just like here.
It's amazing.
For it.
Like I just listened to them, and I don't know that much about them. My friend was telling me about them yesterday. Like after I was like, yeah, Brockhampton, they're insane.
Yeah,
and I listened to it just over and over again, and I was like, this is like one of the most nuts things that I've ever heard.
And they're fucking good.
And what genre is it?
Like they do what the fuck they want.
There is not a genre.
Punk.
It is punk.
Well, yeah. The recent single sounded like Old School Outcast. Or like Dungeon Family, but they're just free, man.
They're amazing.
And that's what I love. And I love the fact that they have such vivid characters. That shouty one, there's like three of them, I think that's Shout, or like two of them. And it's just like...
Yeah, it's like real exorcism.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm into Brockhampton. But, I mean, I probably... When I'm like down, I listen to a lot of Cyndi Lauper. Because it's don't laugh at me,
laugh.
Jordan.
Why do I associate Cyndi Lauper with being quite funny? Is that like a little bit...
Because people just think girls just want to have fun, but she's she's got an EGOT. She's got an Oscar, Tony, Emmy and a Golden Globe.
Wow, for
and
what?
She's got the same vocal range as Mariah Carey.
Dropping that bio as Cyndi
Lauper.
Let's
just have some respect for Cyndi, yeah?
Let's have some respect for Cyndi.
True Colours, tune... Time after time, time after time,
Oh, no, the time I turned my head in.
No, I drove all night.
And it's off, and la, then you will find me. No, I can't handle that. Do you know why? Magic overplay it so much.
Magic need to stop.
They need to chill out. I mean, that time
How long are we going to play the same 50 songs?
No, just that song. Just, I listen, I like Cyndi Lauper, but whatever, but just cut that song. I don't care what time happened after what time.
It's a classic.
I got the time before. Allow it. I don't need to know about the time.
I'm never singing your songs again.
Again? What a compliment. Thank you. Right, True Colours is a banger, though.
Yeah, but Cyndi Lauper, just because it brings me back to my childhood, and also she was like my introduction to feminism and activism.
For real?
With what she did in the 80s. She was like, you know, there for the gays, the trans people and lesbians. Yeah, during the 80s, like during the AIDS epidemic, like she was really one of the first pop stars to actually stand up and speak about how this was affecting the community and start raising money. So she was there before, you know, Lady Gaga kind of capitalizing on the LGBT community, even though she is part of the LGBT community and still is great what she did. But Cyndi Lauper didn't have that benefit of it actually being a capitalistic business decision.
Wow.
Yeah.
You could see it as actually being it would have worked against her. So she
For sure. I mean, I'm not, that was not a read with Lady Gaga at all.
No, but I know exactly what you're saying.
Do you know
saying?
What I mean? I kind of feel like, you know, there's money to be made from the LGBT community, but like back then there wasn't. It was actually detrimental to your career.
So she cared.
She cared. And that was like my introduction to activism through allyship. And it just reminds me of that child, you know. I remember where I was when I was listening to the album.
Yeah.
And how I felt. And I think it's all about getting back to that child state.
So lastly, because we've done over an hour and it's been so... Oh, this has been rich.
Okay, great.
I was waiting to describe it. Rich. Do you like dark chocolate?
No.
You don't like dark chocolate?
No, I like milk.
Okay. Well, this has been rich, like a wonderful...
Cocoa.
And, what maybe could you give an idea of what you'd like to see change in regards to how people view their mental health and or how people in the world interact with each other?
I would like us to be more open to hearing about people's mental health. I think that it's all well and good, like kind of saying that people should be open about their mental health, but we need to adjust how we hear about mental health.
Mm.
So when someone is speaking about their mental health, maybe don't think that you need to give them their sympathy. You just need to be open to hearing it.
Hold space.
Because, you know, it exists. Bad mental health exists. It doesn't mean anything about that person. It just means that they're going through something somewhat of an adjustment, and it's not something that, you know, you need to look down on someone about, or that you need to be like, oh come on, like you've got so much going for you. Just like, you know, I think offer those people tools, offer those people space, offer those people examples of, you know, places that they can go or services that they can access. But I think that when someone opens up about their mental health, it's not always sympathy that they want. It's just space to get better, or resources. So real tangible resources and understanding, I would like.
I think that's a really important point. Thank you so much for being on this.
Oh, thanks, John. Yeah.
I really want to have you on again at some point, because I like to look at this as a circle, a family. You know?
Yeah, I'll come back when I'm in a good place. This is
You can come back in whatever place. I'm so happy that you've actually taken the time to come down. You know, considering you're so tired.
I mean, life doesn't stop.
Anyway, thank you for listening to the Whole Truth podcast. Subscribe now so you can get updates, I think, and also share it if you want. If you or someone you know is affected by anything we talked about in the podcast, check out the I Am Whole website for where you can find tips on places to go for support, advice and help. Look after yourselves.
Imagine Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Powered by Spirit Studios.